KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. Peter Boyles, helping to stop, stamp out, and eliminate redundancy on 710 KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. Bob Dylan said it best. You don't need to be a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, and that's where they got the weatherman. The SDS's weatherman came from Dylan's great line. I don't know what the temperature is. We have a new guest in studio who's going to tell me. Sherry Peterson's here. Tomorrow, much of the same, and then tricks and treats. So let me tell you a little bit about this. And I usually take pride in reading books, and I have not done this one. But one of the guys on the job, and Billy Thorpe and I were talking about it, said, this is like an amazing story. The view from 13F, survival flight 811. Sherry Peterson joins us. And I looked at a quick bio. You've done a lot of national stuff. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's a pleasure to meet you. Mm-hmm. What was the weather like coming in?
Oh, my gosh. Little snow, little wind.
Yeah, little wind. Yeah. Where do you live? Where do you
got? I'm just right around the corner here. Okay. I'm your neighbor.
Good. Well, right? then that's not going to be a problem.
No,
when you get out of here. Whatever. We'll get you some updates, you guys. We're getting barraged here. And about tonight. I can't tell anybody about tonight. So tell you saw these pictures. You showed me these pictures in the mm-hmm. book. My God. I mean, just tell the story.
Well, I'd be happy to. It was 30 years ago, 1989, and I was working in the travel business. And one of the things I did was escort groups, professionals, to different locations. So we had a job assignment in Australia, in Sydney. Flying over there, Honolulu, I get off the plane. Because I was in the travel business, they gave me a complimentary upgrade. So one of the last ones to board, I board. There's a man in my seat. He's in 9F up in business class. So he's seated there. He has his cocktail. He's talking to his seatmate. And I come up and go, gosh, I'm sorry. I think you're in my seat. He says, I don't think I'm going to move. Okay.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. He said that to mm-hmm. you?
And I didn't really blame him because we had dupe seats. He was there. He was all set up. And
but you had an equal seat.
Right. I'm showing you my boarding pass.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
I look at him and think, okay, the flight attendant says sit down. So I'm in 13F. Bulkhead behind me. Strap in. I kind of look around. And it's a normal flight. I'm having some weird sensations on the whole thing. There's just something that was off for me. And then having worked for the airlines for many years, a young man whispers in my ear, tighten your seatbelt, you're in for the ride of your life.
And you actually heard that?
Actually heard that. And I turned and looked, and there was nobody standing there.
Ooh.
There was not a, well, hello.
Hello.
And I thought, wait a minute, that's not a flight crew
you
instruction.
You heard those words?
Heard those words in my ear, and it was a loud whisper, and it was a young man.
Wow.
It's giving me goosebumps.
No, it's... this is the time of the year.
Right.
No, but for real.
For real.
So how long after you take off?
Okay,
do you do that?
So we're going around a thunderstorm. The captain was flying it, and he was, all right, so we're gaining altitude and this and that, and I hear these unusual noises.
How many hour trip is it going to be?
It's going to be about 8.5 hours.
Okay, all right.
Because we're going to Auckland first, sure, so right. We're Honolulu, Auckland. All right. So we're sitting, you know, anyway, so I hear this grumble and every bone in my body is screaming at me, this is not right. This is not right. I know. And so I thought, okay, settle down. And then I close my eyes and boom, just like that, the whole side of the airplane was gone. You blinked right there. That's how fast it was. They were gone. They were there and gone.
How high up were you?
We were at 24,000 feet.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. That's why the cover is what I was looking out at.
It's freezing cold.
Oh, my gosh. Peter, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So the inside in the book, there's a photos of a gentleman took during the incident. You can see them right there.
I do.
Yeah. He was an Australian special ops paratrooper commander. And so he immediately went into, I need to document this mode.
Yeah.
So he started taking photos. So you could see the photo of me right next to the hole, holding on to the two people that were right behind the hole, their feet hanging out, their seats were broken. The seats in front of them were ripped out because it was a cargo door malfunction. So the cargo door opened.
Is that what you were feeling the whole time?
Yes, it was starting to unlock. Then the wind caught it and just peeled it up. And when it peeled it up, it took the floor with those eight seats plus the guy in 9F.
The guy that you, they took him out, he went out the window.
He
or
went
out the
door,
my heavens.
Yeah, so.
Wait a minute, the view from 13F, Sherry Peterson, I should have read this book.
Not before you fly.
I do apologize because no. I just did some international flying, and the new way that they do this, and it's way cool, but it tells you how cold it is outside the airplane and how high they are. And I mean, I love that stuff.
I know.
64 below.
Yep. And we now have hurricane force winds coming. We're going 380 miles an hour. We're in regular clothes. The wind is coming in. Did you ever see Castaways?
Yes, of course.
Remember the car accident? The airplane accident?
Yeah, sure.
That was what happened. That scene, go back and look on YouTube,
all right,
where he's in the bathroom and all of a sudden there's this boom,
pop.
And he's pulled out, and then all of a sudden the wind's coming in.
All I can remember is Goldfinger.
Oh.
In the end of Goldfinger when he gets pulled out the window.
Yeah. Well, that scene with the castaways is 2 minutes. We were up there for 17. So,
how far were you from land?
We were about 100 miles out of Honolulu. So, because we were still climbing out, and there's just so many moving parts to this story.
What kind of an airplane was it?
It was a 747. It was 18 years old.
It's a big airplane.
Yeah.
Big airplane.
Yeah. So, when I looked...
Were you on that deck up above?
No, we were down below.
Okay.
We were below.
What happened to the people on the upstairs?
Well, the photos show the hole didn't go all the way up there. There was some damage done, but there were people in the back of the aircraft, as I understood, that weren't even sure what was happening because they couldn't see it. And suddenly we're in complete darkness. We're bouncing around. The two engines to my right are on fire, and I'm looking right at them. They're right there, and that high-pitched 747 wine. Yeah, thank you. So you could hear that, and we're going at an angle just down. Now, having worked for the airlines, that was not going to be a good ending.
Did those masks drop and everything?
No, they were sucked out. The entire interior of the air of that air, was gone.
How long ago did this happen?
1989, February 24th. Way before social media.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had to go to after the landing was incredible. All the things that happened afterwards.
So let's reset this. This is terrific. Apologies, this was kind of a favor to one of the young guys, and they said, hey, Peter, you got to get. And I'm going, yeah, sure. And actually, you know, being blunt honest, I'm going, you know, we had a really good show going on Halloween costumes.
Well, this is scary.
No, frightening. And I'm telling Billy, man, you know, Billy and I say, if she was a phoner, we'd cancel.
Another day.
Yeah, another day. You're tremendous. The view from 13F, Sherry Peterson. So where do you live when all this happened?
I was right here in Denver. In fact, the Rocky Mountain News, you'll see a photo in the back. It was the whole front page when it happened about the travel agent that was on United 811.
I'm just reading your introduction. And it said, this is about your dad, and I don't know why I turned to this. This is a bizarre moment. Professional wrestling on TV and about Joni Weston.
Oh, he used to make up stories and tell us that.
I actually met Joni Weston,
which
tells you what kind of a life I got. But.
Well, I'm impressed. No, I loved her as a kid.
Me too.
I wanted to be the blonde bomber, right?
Joni Weston out on a jam.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're a roller derby fan.
She was the best.
She was in the Bombers.
Yep, blonde bomber.
Yeah, she was the bomber. I actually, like a little sidebar story, but Joni Weston, Ann Crivello.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joni Weston, Charlie O'Connell, the king of roller derby. So she, a white trash youth.
But that's another whole show we can do.
Yeah, no, WTs, man. It's like, it's the real deal. This is, I mean, one of my dear friends who is a television lady just said, this is great. Just sent me a text.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I'm so glad we did this. So you're going to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're going with a tour.
Yes, I'm going to meet them. I'm going to escort them. And my mother, I'm from Iowa, right? So she's a little Iowa farm wife. I heard her one time tell her friends, well, my daughter's a paid escort. She travels with executives all over the world.
Winky,
and I'm
winky.
Like, wait a minute.
Hold that, Mom.
Whoa.
So you get on the airplane and you hear the voice.
I'm just going to work. Like a week in Australia, I'll go there and I come back and go to St. Thomas or wherever next. But it was just a week, a normal thing for me at that time. Get on the airplane. I have incredibly intuitive stuff going on the whole time. Everything was kind
of
like,
are you one of those people that stuff happens to?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I know those people.
Yeah. Well, you met another one. I'm one of them.
Are you?
So, things, even in my childhood. So, people, so the story, we come back and we can talk about that.
One of those people.
Yeah.
You're one of those people?
I am one of those. Yeah. But I went on to work. And I don't know how I did it. And people would ask me, how did you get back on the airplane? So I would say, it's how I was raised. That turned into, what do you mean? So there's a lot about how I was raised in here, sure, in the farm life, and you just get back on the horse.
You do.
And so,
so but so I'm going to come back to this. The young man's voice says,
yes, tighten your seatbelt. You're in for the ride of your life.
And the guy that would not give you your seat, he's gone.
Yes.
Never to be found.
Never.
Yeah.
In fact, the 8 people that perished were in the seats that were pulled out of the aircraft. He was pulled out of his seat. The arm of the seat was at an angle. It was that strong of a tug.
And it's just, you can feel the plane.
There was a malfunction. You could feel it happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the equivalent of when you hit a pothole and don't expect it. Mm-hmm. You know, you drive along and all of a sudden you go, boom.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Same thing, only this was enormous explosion.
Wow.
And the whole interior, you could Google it, United 811.
Okay.
And folks, if you do that, you could follow along.
It's a good thing we're doing this show now, and I just got back from I'm thinking to myself, what if we were getting ready to leave tomorrow?
Well, my family says they're not afraid to fly with me. They're telling me I took one.
Oh, yeah. No,
I took one for the team, they said.
No, absolutely. That's really true. One with your name on it.
You got it.
You already had that. No.
And it changed my life in ways you cannot imagine, when you think you're going to die and you don't.
I know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you think, oh, that's the game. And,
mm-hmm.
And then
airline person, I know this is not going to end well.
I got somebody I'm going to give this book. I got people that are going to already call me, can I have the book? How do you get the book?
You can go to my website, and that is Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Peterson, author.com, and I can autograph it for you, and I'll send it out.
Cool.
Or you can go to Amazon, and I've got tons of, I'm so impressed with the reviews I'm getting on this.
Wow. One of my dearest friends is an airline captain.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to send him. Yeah, he wants the book. So here it is. How long after you were wheels up does this thing blow?
17 minutes. Well, we were out about 12, and then 17. And again, this is 30 years ago, and there's not.
Wow.
So.
I'm sending text on this. I will definitely get her book.
Oh, thank you.
I remember it.
Oh. Well, I called GoDaddy to get my website, and the fellow goes, oh, author, what did you write about? And I said, well, it was this thing. He goes, holy cow, my dad is a Delta captain. I was 8 years old. We sat and watched it. My brother flies Warthogs for the Air Force. My other brother's a private pilot. He said, we're having a family reunion this weekend. I cannot wait to tell them we met. So, go, Daddy.
How many people lose their lives?
9.
But it was in an instant.
Instant. They didn't even know what happened.
They're gone.
Yeah.
And there you have this picture. And it's the 747.
Yes.
And there's no side to it.
Correct. It was the most significantly damaged large aircraft to ever make it back. And they simulate, and it never makes it back.
I was going to ask you, because they can dry fire these things, right?
Yep.
So what happens when they play Let's Pretend?
Nothing.
Everybody dies.
Everybody. Well, it goes in the water, which probably did. Yeah.
What's your relationship like with the captain, the guy who was flying?
Oh, my gosh. Captain David Cronin, and he was retiring. It was when the age was 60, mandatory. Excuse me. So this was his last flight. He was coming back and retiring. After it happened, we had, a lot of people got a hold of him. He was just a humbled, he's gone now. He had a heart attack, it was 30 years ago. So anyway, but he said he did not land that airplane. Because they had no idea. You don't have a rearview mirror. They can't see what's going on.
Right.
So they knew when they figured out the engines were on fire, they came down and looked and saw the damage. They knew.
They came down and looked out the glass.
Well, I watched one of the flight deck crew members come down those spiral staircases and he looked, and I could see the look on his face. Mm. On the other side of the aircraft was a flight attendant in a vest with a megaphone screaming instructions. I could see the veins on her neck, but you can't hear anything.
It's so loud.
Oh, loud. And we're doing this. You're bouncing all over, and you've got the fire, and you've got the incoming wind, and people are just looking around. Nobody is panicked.
You don't have time.
What do you do? What are you going to do to help?
Yeah.
It's just, you have no place to put it.
Yeah.
I'm looking out the hole going, this is a United 747. This cannot be happening.
But you could see out.
Oh, I was right there. And you could see.
Yeah, I can see your seat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So we'd just taken off over the ocean, and there was a big bright moon, and that was really the only light coming in the cabin because the interior was gone. There were no lights, no oxygen masks. And looking down on the clouds, that's how high up we were. And I'm looking out thinking, wow, that's really beautiful. It just wasn't so scary. Yeah. It would be beautiful. Yeah. Then you go, well, hello. So that's why we came up with the title, because that was my view, and that changed my life.
You guys, Billy, I'm glad I didn't listen to you, Bill. I lay it on Billy now. This is true stuff. It's like white out snow. We're on a roll with a radio show in First Amendment Halloween costumes. and we did this as a favor to Michael, who I love. Michael's one of our kids. We love Michael. And so I said to Billy, and I said, well, you know, maybe she won't show up because of the weather. Bill says she's outside. And I went, oh, damn. And I'm not making this up. And so Billy said she was a phoner. We could cancel her. And I said, okay, we can't be impolite. You know, like we're horrible enough people. And you're giving us like the show of the month. I mean, it's just like, I had no clue. Let me just, why don't we turn around here? Mm-hmm. Because the pictures, can people see these pictures anywhere? Are they just in the book?
They're in the book. Yeah. Well, the photos of the aircraft you can, but the interior ones are not anywhere else.
You have the pictures of it sitting
on the tarmac.
Yeah, and before it gets hurt, and then showing the damage. And it's like this huge hole.
Oh, you could drive a Mack truck through.
Absolutely. I mean, I should say absolutely.
No.
And you're at 24,000. Mm-hmm. You're 100 miles from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we're just about 5 miles up.
And it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. And there's a hurricane.
You remember those stories that begin like that?
I know.
There maybe I was.
Well, see, that's what people kept saying to me. You should write a book.
Yeah.
And it took me 30 years to get my head around this because
I had to.
Oh, my gosh. There were so many things.
That's a great thing. There I was upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one burning, one churning.
Mm-hmm.
And there two still turning. I've heard that from, you know, old World War II guys who sit around in AA meetings and they tell you stories and they're going, damn, dude. You know, but they do. There I was.
Mm-hmm.
Those stories that begin with, there I was. You sit still. You're a gift. It's a Tuesday morning, everyone. And I'm getting people saying, heard somebody saying they can't find your website. Just a second.
S-H-A-R-I.
Let me go to this little dinky thing here and ask it. It says, I can't find her website. What is the name of the book?
The View from 13F.
All right. And what's the website?
Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Peterson, Peterson, author.com.
Now known as the guest of the year.
Oh.
Billy, is this like, you know, the pig and the acorn? I mean, excuse me, I'm still finding it, but I thought I was going to put a bull in this puppy. This is great. Hang on. 710 KNUS, we are Denver's talk station. Good morning, everyone. You ever wondered what those valuables are worth? I saw David Ellis on Saturday morning. We had coffee. He's the best guy. They've expanded the operation. Holidays are coming. So many things with David. And what valuables are worth just sitting in your basement or in the box in the other room kind of a thing? Grandma's old watch and all the stuff that goes with it. Collecting dust could be worth a fortune in cash. Find out what they're worth today. Have them appraised. My friend David Ellison, Cherry Creek, buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. It's a great day to do it. And it's going to be slow and low and do it. David will pay top dollar for your valuables. Bring in gold and sterling silver. Diamonds, coins, antique jewelry, wedding bands, Rolex watches. Evaluations are quick and confidential. Gift-giving time is here. It is amazing. David Ellis' best prices on diamonds and jewelries in Cherry Creek, 2640 East 3rd Avenue. It's 3rd and Clayton, newly expanded, 6 days a week, and David's there. Go to davidellisjewelry.com, davidellisjewelry.com, davidellisjewelry.com. Another one of those emails. Peter just looked at the pictures of the plane. Holy cow. Wow. We come back with a wonderful guest right after this.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
On and off the air, Mark Crawley came in. His dad was an airline captain. He's looking at these pictures. We can't. Mark the Hammer said some of the stuff is copyrighted pictures and we can't slap it up real quick on the internet this morning. So with apologies, 18, I don't know what to tell everybody, and Billy Thorpe. Billy, why don't you jump this real quick and talk about what's going on with the schools, because we're getting barraged. He's on the phone. Can you talk real quick about what we know about school closings? And Stefan is sending me stuff, and there's a lot of people that are really got the tights about school closings and events, and I don't know what to tell you. Why don't I do this? Well, I had to cancel lunch today. I had a lunch scheduled with John Medved, and we canceled because they're so busy. It's time for Cadillac's event, a Medved Cadillac. And one of the cool things about having all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive is you're going to get out of the jam today. Our friends at Medved pulled out the stops during the month of October. It's incredible lease and purchase opportunities. All-wheel drive CTS, CT6 sedans, all-wheel drive XT4s, XT5s, the 6s, the crossovers, the car, the unmistakable Cadillac Escalade. And this is great news for ski areas. I mean, this is just wonderful stuff. And Winter Park's scheduled to open the 14th. Keystone, all these guys are opening up. They're rocking. Guys are skiing. Unmistakable Cadillac Escalade. You get there. Colorado's favorite, again, favorite luxury sport utility. Winter Storm is here. This is a real, here you go. You'll be glad to know Medved is in the entire all-wheel drive Cadillac lineup. The people at John's are friendly, personable. John and Debbie Medved are the best. No high-pressure sales. You can shop online at MedvedCadillac.com. Best of all, save you money. Go and see these rides, especially now, fall Cadillac season. And, of course, look at there's first blush out there of the weather. Medved Cadillac, I-70 in Wheat Ridge. You exit Kipling, you exit Ward, but you exit the giant Medved Autoplex. This is a remarkable moment for me. Sherry Peterson, the view from 13F is in studio. A quick recap. One of the guys came to us, one of the young guys on the job, said, you got to have this woman on the show. She came in, we shook hands. We booked it. And then this morning we're on a roll on First Amendments and Halloween, and she's here, and I was like, oh, man, she kills it. I mean, you're people are walking in to meet you. So we're telling the story. I preface it again. You get on an airplane, you're in Hawaii, pick up the story.
And I was flying to Auckland. It was a 747, sat down, or as I'm boarding, I was upgraded, so I had a different boarding pass, and I went to my assigned seat, and there was a gentleman sitting there, 9F. He had his stuff all set out. He was having a cocktail. He was talking to, you know, chatting to his seatmate. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I think you're in my seat. He pulls out his boarding pass. We have duplicate seats. I plop down in 13F. We take off just a few minutes, maybe 12 minutes outside of Honolulu, and we're going around a thunderstorm. And I loosen my seatbelt, and I hear a young man whisper in my ear, tighten your seatbelt. You're in for the ride of your life. And I immediately turned and looked behind me because that is not a crew instruction. And I thought, well, who? I thought a flight attendant came out of the galley. I didn't know. And then I thought, what an odd thing to say. And I became anxious because everything inside of me was going, pay attention. So I tightened my seatbelt and took a deep breath, and I felt all of these weird sensations going on under the floor. Something was grinding. And again, my interior thought was, this is not right. This is not right. These are not normal airplane sounds. And I closed my eyes, and then boom, 1.5 seconds later, the whole cargo door was gone, ripped up the floor. Everything in the interior of the airplane was sucked out. It was the blink of an eye. There was no, just gone.
Trevor, we talked a little bit about this off air. I like this woman immensely. That whole thing, and you have framed the seat pass as sort of like an icon. I mean, I'm a big believer in icons, by the way, and power symbols. I'm a Joseph Campbell guy. So are you? Obviously you are. So why did you frame that pass?
Oh, boy, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Can I get back to you on that?
Oh, sure.
No,
of course.
It was when you start putting your pieces back together, because you're so scattered when this happens. And it was just something that was so significant to me that here's why. After everything happened and those 8 seats were ripped out from the floor, the man in 9F was pulled out of the seat. He died and I didn't. And I needed to look at that.
Yeah. So they get the airplane? Obviously, they land it. But
right.
You're telling me the story on and off the air that they can't replicate the landing. The captain himself, tell the story if you would.
Right. Well, we made it back. And now also 2 engines are on fire on the right-hand side. We're fully loaded with fuel because we're going on an 8.5-hour flight, full passengers. So we're heavy. And they tried to dump fuel because they didn't know what was going to happen. So the crew is dumping fuel. The flight attendants, the ones that weren't injured. In fact, I was to have lunch with one of the flight crew members today, and I hadn't seen her since this happened.
Wow.
So we postponed. Hi, Cheryl. We'll do it later. Yeah. But
We'll do a follow-up show, and I'd like to, maybe she'd come in studio.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Done. Cool. Okay, it's already set. Go.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the flight crews are trying. I mean, they were so busy. There's no oxygen. They're looking for oxygen bottles so they could plug in masks so they're portable. They're trying to clear the exits and clear the debris out of the aisle, see who's injured, explain how to put life vests on. They're in shock. There are a couple. I mean, every single flight attendant was injured in some manner, either during the incident or when they landed. You know, because we evacuated that airplane when we landed in less than a minute. 330 people. Yeah, it was. We were motivated.
Did they use the slides?
Oh, yeah, we went down the slides. Right. And so they tell you when you go down the slide, don't take anything personal. Yeah. Well, I grabbed my briefcase. That's a no-no. People don't do that. Yeah. But and this and the boarding pass is in my briefcase, so I kept it.
So the captain is no longer with us, but did you ever sit and talk to him, how'd this thing get back?
Well, he – oh, boy, that's a good one. Yeah. They – when you are a captain, and all you airline people know this, there's procedures, right? So when you board an airplane and you don't know who your first officer is, you just have to assume they're as well-trained, and you don't have to talk about, gee, what should we do about this incident? Right. Everybody knows what to do. This one, they just threw the book out because what is going on? We had engine fire. We had a hole in the plane, rapid decompression, fully loaded. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even – they didn't know if there was structural damage. Can we even land the thing? Will it break up when it lands? Is it going to be a water landing? I mean, they were just trying to figure out what happened. So we – you know, I'm looking out the window or, you know, the hole, the hurricane force –
Tell people how big this hole is.
Well, it pulled out 8 seats, so it was, I don't know, feet and stuff, but it was you could drive a truck through it. And
it's
the pictures,
huge. Oh, yeah,
the pictures. And the pictures that are online show people around the hole, and when you see how tiny they are compared to the, you know, damage.
No, it's amazing.
But it was the largest damaged aircraft to ever make it back safely, and they repaired it and put it back into service.
It's even better.
It's even crazy better. Stuff.
No, so, that's a safe plane.
Right. Well, there's a lot of information about the aircraft because the captain said they had, and now he has no engines, so how does he have the reverse to stop us? So he has one shot at a landing because all the altitude he would lose, he didn't have the power to regain. Mm-hmm. So we were either going to run into the front of the water or go into the water, possibly hit the front of the runway or land and not have any way to stop and crash at the end. So this was he had to be really precise, the crew. I mean, it was extraordinary what they pulled off.
Were they talking to you? Were you couldn't you hear them?
No, we didn't know.
Were you talking to anybody close sitting to you?
No, you couldn't. People would look at you. I mean, I was traveling alone, so I, you know, there was a gentleman, 6-year-old daughter, pregnant wife, and I looked at them, and they had put a pillow over her face. And after we landed, I saw him and asked why he did that, and he said, we didn't want her to see what was going to happen next.
Did you hold hands with anybody?
I was holding on to the people across the aisle because they were in shock. They were a bloody mess, all the debris that had hit them, hit all of us, but they had a lot of things hit them on the way out, and they were looking down, looking out. Their seats were broken, so they were bouncing. So I leaned across the aisle and grabbed the guy's arm and was trying to get him to look at me so he wasn't looking at me. And the wife was looking straight ahead. We couldn't talk. Then I noticed the flight attendant that said, take a seat, we need to push back, was stuck under his seat. She had been in the galley, and that's not a very big area.
No, she was stuck.
I looked, and there she is, and she's contorted, and she's clearly injured. So I'm holding her hand and trying to do motions because she's looking at me like, what's going on? You can't talk.
Yeah, I'm sure, no.
So she pulled a seat cushion over her head, and then another crew member came to help her. But she stayed there.
Was it windy? And
Yeah, it was hurricane force wind. We're 300 miles an hour, 380, something like that.
God.
And it was cold. It was so cold. And you can't breathe. You have no oxygen. So it felt like something was standing on your chest.
Well, that, you know, again, we were just, you know, flew the Atlantic, and there's new technology. Every seat has a TV screen, and they're telling you how cold it is out there, how fast you're going, how much time we got to get, you know, to get home. And I'm thinking, I think they said 64 below or some unbelievable. Maybe it was colder than that, but it doesn't matter. You know, after a certain temperature, what the hell's 10 degrees? You know,
so, well, and you're in shock. So when they, I'm thinking, my God, we're going to go in the water. We're going to break up. I mean, you know, it's like a doctor. They know too much when they see you sniffling. They go, this ain't good for Peter because
right. No, exactly.
He doesn't know how sick he is kind of thing.
No, that's right.
But I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be ugly, 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 and thinking about retrieval. And
are you married or have children? Or
I was married at the time, yes.
Okay.
No kids, but I'm very close to my family, so they didn't know any of this was going on. And
how long before the explosion, before they...
Okay, so they, I'm looking out the hole, and suddenly I could see the pinpoints of Hawaii. And I'm thinking, holy crap, they turned this thing
around.
Say
that. You can say anything you want.
But I was shocked that he had turned it around somehow, and... maybe there was a chance it would be a rescue, not a retrieval operation. I'm thinking operations. What are they doing? What
They're
are they talking
ditch.
About
yeah.
back there?
Yeah.
So seeing the lights of Honolulu was incredibly positive. But then anyway, so he comes in very high. And the Captain Cronin was a fighter pilot, so he and a glider
pilot.
And most
of those guys were,
yeah,
of course.
And a glider pilot, so he had to use his all his instincts. Yeah. Comes in, turns it, and then just goes for the runway like a... It just drops it.
So they must have been talking all the time coming in.
In
to,
the front,
to the
of course,
tower,
yeah.
Sure.
In fact, there's the actual transcript of the cockpit recording.
The book, you guys, let me plug it again. Dope that I am. I did not read this. The View from 13F, A Woman's Story of Survival, Flight 811, Sherry Peterson. And you can find this by?
My website, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Peterson, author.com. Or it's on Amazon.
So you now know he's talking. And you're going home. What are you thinking?
Oh, as we're coming in, I just sat there and watched because I thought these are probably my last earthly experiences.
Sure.
So the
flight,
and I write about this. So the flight crew gives you your instructions. You know, bend over, grab your ankles. And I thought, if this
kiss
is the
goodbye.
Last. I thought if this is my last event, I'm not going to be looking at my own butt. I'm watching this. So.
Kindred spirit. Watch this. Famous last words.
Hold my beer.
Here, you all watch this.
I'm so glad I didn't know you.
Oh, no, man.
But it was, so I watched it, and he turned it so hard and steep, I'm leaning out the seat. I mean, basically, you can't. And I'm watching the runway come up, and my adrenaline's going because I'm thinking all these things have to work, and I know he doesn't have control of the aircraft, complete control, but the landing was perfect. It was amazing.
Did you guys ever have reunions?
No. It was way before social media.
Everybody's...
A couple, no, I mean, I didn't even know who these people were. We just...
Well, so you're down.
We land,
And
we evacuate. So the crew instruction there is they punch you in the back, get you down the slide, and they tell you, run away from the aircraft.
Sure, sure.
Okay, well, I had a track scholarship to college.
Showing you.
I'm halfway to Kauai.
Oh, yeah.
And it's raining. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. That gentle Hawaiian rain, though. And I ran past some Hawaiian firefighters in their hazmat gear and everything. Guy goes, where are you going?
Watch this.
What? I stopped and looked at him like, what is wrong with you? I said, do you not see that?
Yeah.
And then I turned and looked, and I just crumbled. I was like,
holy,
speechless.
Wow.
And I just sat there in the rain.
Now, I'm going to take another turnaround. And when we come back, you know, after you go through stuff like this and, you know, it's always the why me's and how this happened. And there's something that I know a little bit about called survivor's guilt. See what you do. She's wonderful, you guys. And again, this is a true lesson in how not to listen to me or Billy Thorpe. Truly, we were going to blow this off. Good morning, everyone. 8:40, 20 before the hour. And Randy's got Stefan's gig this afternoon. Chuck and Julie at 1. Back here tomorrow morning at 5. Remember, everybody, about red flagging. And I recommend join everybody Centennial Gun Club Wednesday, November the 20th from 6 to 8. I was texting with Dick yesterday. This thing's filling up quick. They always go to 60, but we always end up with like 70 people. We're going to have like the most aggressive red flag law in the country after January 1st, 2020, and learn about it. This is a free town hall. No cost. All you got to make a res on it. Please, 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 if you're smart, do this. CentennialGunClub.com/Peter. The runoff of Arapahoe Road, it is the place. November the 20th, 6 to 8, Dick Abramson, a lot of guys, Randy Corcoran will be there. There's all kinds of folks showing up. So give them, again, don't call. Just put your name on the list. It's Wednesday, November the 4th, 6 to 8, Centennial Gun Club off of Arapahoe Road. Go to the website, CentennialGunClub.com/Peter. It's a town hall. It's free. CentennialGunClub.com/Peter. Do it today.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
I tell you what, in the middle of this snowstorm, this is great stuff. The 29th of October, 2019, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows, but it does. Back tomorrow, we'll do it again at 5 a.m. Chuck and Julia won. Randy's in for Stefan. And this is just an incredible moment. The view from 13F, one woman's story surviving flight 811, Sherry Peterson. We're going to get her back in about 10 show days, along with one of the flight attendants who was with her. You're on the ground. You've told the story. Now, you and I are sitting there talking off air. You're absolutely wonderful. I know you did because you said you did. Okay, it's the why me. Talk about it. I don't even know how to ask the question.
Well, I know that. Well, Peter, we were talking about what happens after this, and you go, why me and not the man in 9F? What if I'd have gotten there first? What if I sat down and said, I'm not moving? I'm sorry, I'm settled in. You find something else to do. And I dealt with that for quite a while. And the people that helped me and the people that weren't helping me, the one that wasn't helping me was my spouse at the time. It was a very, very difficult situation. And I often wonder if that wasn't, 811 wasn't a big wake-up call, because if I'd have stayed in that relationship, I'd probably be dead. I would have. Yeah. It just wasn't healthy, very unhealthy. So those kind of things. And I had to work on authentic transformation. What is loss? Define loss, because I realized when you die, you don't take anything with you. So why are we so grabby now? Yeah. I mean, things are just loaned to us. You have this great ring. Mm. You leave it at the gym. It's gone.
Yeah.
You're going, oh, crap. Yeah. But nothing's going to change. It's not coming back.
It's not.
So what are you going to do with what just happened?
Well, you know, I got a friend. We did this. How many more opening days of ski season? How many more trips to Sturgis? How many more times are you going to do this, do that? Because we're both old. I'm old. And it's like, you know, get on this thing, you're on the clock. But what happened to you, I mean, I think what happens to me in my head is just the getting old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And old guys all talk this way. But you had, how old were you when this happened?
37.
Wow, you were a kid.
Yeah. Oh,
no,
hardly.
Sure. I mean,
but yeah.
Yeah, really.
And there was a lot of, at that point in your life, you're something to somebody else. You're either a wife, you're an employee.
Sure.
You lose who you are, especially women more than men.
Yeah.
And but everybody does. You become what they tell you to become. And then all of a sudden, this incident was me. When I'm sitting on the runway in the rain, I felt this presence surround me and said, he's wrong, meaning the abuse I was taking, I didn't deserve. And all of a sudden, I realized I was not the idiot I was told to be. And it was time to reclaim myself. Very Lion King.
No.
Remember who you are.
Yeah.
And that's when my whole life started turning around, because when you get authentic and start saying, I'm making these choices, I'm done reacting to what you're throwing at me. I'm going to start creating. And enormous. And I'm telling you, people, it will change your life when you decide that and say, that's it. I'm done reacting to what is being thrown at me. I'm going to start creating.
There's a line in recovery that they said, and it's not what they do to you. It's what you do with what they do.
Yes.
And that was taught to me by,
exactly.
And you can't always implement it, but you try.
Right. Well, at least recognize it.
Yeah.
Because I started doing some counseling because it just evolved.
I'll bet.
And people would.
You have a lot of wisdom. You really do.
Oh, thanks.
No,
but,
no, please.
Thank you. But people would come in and go, oh, my spouse, my sibling, my parent.
Yeah.
And I would look at them and go, but what's your part in this? They never could see that. It was everybody's doing something to me. So, and I'm thinking, you just gave your power to them. Then you wonder why you're so miserable. So we would work not so much on becoming aggressive. It was, what are you going to change? Make one little change that gives you more say in what's going on. Stop giving them all the knobs and buttons.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a puppet.
So you flew again.
Yes. I caught the next flight onto,
You know, it's the horse you get back on.
Well, it made sense to me at the time.
Oh, of course.
But I lived in Hawaii for a few years, and I thought, if I don't get back on that plane, I may never leave again.
You never leave the rock.
Yeah, which isn't a bad thing. But I knew I had to, that would be me hiding.
Yeah.
Hiding in a very open way, if that yeah. makes sense.
Did you do PTSD? Did you do...
I didn't know I had it until yeah. I was talking yeah. with a group of yeah. veterans one time, and yeah. a guy comes up, slides his car. He said, I'm not looking for clients. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I bet you don't know. You're yeah. about seven to ten on yeah, this, you know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm like, what? Never even was on my... I never crossed my mind. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
This is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm sure that's what it is, or was.
I think, is that the music I hear? No, not quite. Yeah, it's just people moving around.
Oh.
What's one thing, and it's a lousy question, you took away one thing from all of this, and you want to tell somebody, what would the one thing be?
Oh, gosh. Remember who you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Find out who you are, because the story I took off on that airplane, I was a different person when I landed, because...
Bingo. Now there's the music. Her name is Sherry Peterson. She'll be with us next week with the other woman who was all part of this. The View from 13F, One Woman Story of Surviving Flight 811. You can look at her on the internet. Give the website again, if you would, please.
Thank you. Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Peterson, S-O-N, author. SherryPetersonAuthor.com.
You're the best. She'll be with us next week, back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.